If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Everybody, and welcome to the After Further Review podcast. I'm Pete Doherty, along with Eric Baranchek. We're here to talk about the Green Bay Packers' 16-13 loss to the Carolina Panthers on Sunday. Eric, 13.5 point favorites, and they lose 16-13. three games where they've been big favorites, and they're 1-2 in those games. What is going on?
You know, that's a really great question. And that has been, you know, a lot of times people want to talk about, you know, specific things that we discuss, right? We talk about more so with the players than we do about game plans and things like that. And one thing that pops out in my head is, you know, when you're coaching football it's a long season. And I think many people may not know how emotional of a game it is, and that you know, you're coming off a Sunday night game, big victory against the Steelers, and Aaron Rodgers to boot. So you know, it's a little bit harder to get yourself up emotionally and ready to play against a team that, you know, you're a 14 point favorite on. But that's the whole trick, the magic trick about being a coach is, through the years, what I've found is that you have to coach the weeks that you're playing an opponent that's not as talented as you, or in this case, it should have a 14-point favorite. those are the weeks that the coaching staffs have. That's the hardest week to coach, because you have to be so detailed and you have to convince your men that you're going out to battle with that you're going to face a buzzsaw, and these guys are the next coming, you know, of Super Bowl champions, and you have got to be super prepared and super detailed and ready to go. And it's easier for your team to get ready for the Philadelphia Eagles. It's much easier. People, you know, probably don't understand, but everybody in that locker room knows who the Philadelphia Eagles are. And they're playing on Monday Night Football, and they, you know, this is, they're going to be dialed in emotionally, mentally, physically. But it's the games now this season. There's three games: Browns, Cardinals, and now the Panthers, that they really look bad on. And you come out of that deal 1-2. That's not a good look. It's not a good look for that coaching staff and what they're doing right now today.
Yeah, it's not. And, you know, it's kind of go back to, you know, that's Vince Lombardi in a way. You know, if you read anything about him, you know, the biographies on him or the comments from his players, the weeks that they would – when they would win the next week, he was so much harder on them in practice than when they'd lose. So that's just a way of keeping everybody on their toes and detail oriented and all that, I guess. So where do you know, these games are so close, and it's just a little thing there, a little thing here that can be the difference between winning and losing. Is there any place that jumps out to you where they lost this game, or is it just the accumulation of several things and voila, you've got a 16-13 walk-off field goal loss?
Yeah, that's a good point, or a good question to ask. Is there anything out there that was really, really like mind-blowingly stupid? Or, you know, I think sometimes you make some poor decisions on what you're doing. I look at this football game and, you know, they were fairly successful on the ground. And for some reason, they still wanted to put the ball in Jordan Love's hands and whip it around a little bit. So that, to me, was a big red flag. Like, why are you not continuing to run the football? I didn't understand that. And I think part of that comes when you have a good quarterback. You know, we've seen the evolution with Favre and Aaron Rodgers. At times in the McCarthy area, they just couldn't seem to run the football. Well, part of it is they had a good quarterback and they didn't, you know, running the football was secondary. With this offense, the way they've played in recent years, running the football was part of the deal. It's part of their game plan. It's part of what makes their offense go. And when they don't run the football, or at least look like they're going to run the football in situations that they probably should, it just is mystifying to me as to why, because it was part of their success that they've had. You know, the other thing was it just,
Let me cut you off for a second. Did they run the ball well enough to play that way?
I think so. I definitely think so. I think are there some warts, and is the running game going to be harder much now that Tucker Kraft is on the sideline? Yeah, but I think you got to have a focus to it. You got to get that offensive line lathered up, and you got to get those guys going. And I think they can. You know, it's not sexy to go 3.5 yards in a cloud of dust. It just isn't sexy. But you know what? That's the kind of football that you have to play in order to shake these linebackers and get those guys caught up near the line of scrimmage and get safeties out of position so you can hit the big plays. Forcing the big plays, as we've seen now, especially last on Sunday, generally that doesn't bode well in your favor.
So the running issues are the whole line mostly, right? But I mean, Jacobs doesn't look quite as explosive as he was last year. Yeah, I don't see him making as much something out of nothing. Or am I wrong there?
No, I think you're right. I think he looks a little bit hesitant. I think would be more appropriate because you look at when Emmanuel Wilson is carrying the football, there's no hesitation there. You know, he's got a full head of steam, and sometimes that doesn't bode well either. But at least he's pushing the ball upfield. You know, so if you look in at the running back from Carolina, Dowdle, I mean he's a really good talent. He's a good running back, and the way he ran with his eyes kind of. He's kind of reminiscent of Aaron Jones and guys like that. Adrian Peterson is another one that comes to my mind that really ran well with his eyes and setting up blockers and setting up linemen. You know, I think the run that broke the camel's back there at the end of the game was that 19-yard run that got him into field position. 19 yards on a run with 45 seconds left on the clock. I mean, that was a ballsy move to do that, but when you had the running back doing what he was doing, on that play, you know, he's having success. So no matter how good your football team, you still have human beings out there, and they're still going to want to run to the football and on occasion vacate their gap. And that's what you saw happen on that play was Evan Williams ran to the flow, overshot his gap, left his gap wide open, and boom, it, you know, busts out of there for 19 yards. Those are the things that had happened in the past last year with Josh Jacobs in the running game, was that they got the running game going, so it made linebackers out of position. It got safeties out of position. And then that not only does it help you in the run game, but it also is going to help you in the pass game too. So that's the issue that they're having right now.
Yeah, I wonder if they'll get there. I mean, I don't see why they can't, except that, we were talking before we went on here or yesterday even about that Elgton Jenkins has not been as good at center as at least I thought he was going to be. I thought he was going to be really good. And he's I don't know. Is he an average starter there right now? You know, maybe, I don't know. Is he even better than average starter at that position at this point?
Yeah, pass blocking, he does. He's probably above average, you know, but in the run game, he's, you know, really average. You know, that's the part that is kind of inexplicable, because when he was at guard, and that was his forte, was run blocking and being able to be forceful at the point and then be able to get up and get in a linebacker's face a little bit. And we're not seeing that right now. We're not seeing him being very forceful at the point. And certainly when it's time for him to fold off and pick up a backer, that's just not happening as quickly as possible as it probably should be. And part of the reason too, let's just face it, is the two guards that are playing in there right now are, you know, Morgan's okay on the run, and he's questionable on the pass, and Ryan is pretty good on the run, but he's again with the passing game, he's got some challenges there. So those guys gotta kind of figure it out, and maybe the way it is this year is they gotta run outside more than inside. But one thing is for certain, you know, with the loss of Tucker Kraft, it's going to make it much harder. It certainly is, because he was a capable, willing blocker. And when you got that combination at the tight end level, plus the opportunity, you know, his running after the catch, you know, makes him a pretty formidable guy. And now you got tight ends in there that aren't very formidable after the catch, and they're capable of blocking, but certainly don't appear to be very willing to do it.
You know, this is it's a little early for talk like this, but guys are, you know, everything's so fluid in this league. And if you look ahead to, you know, how things will go in the offseason and next year, so Jenkins is going to make $20 million next year. Do you cut him? Do you move him back to guard and put draft a center? Do you move him back to guard and put Zach Tom in there? And then use one of your, either Morgan or Belton as your right tackle. I don't know. There's a lot of ways all that stuff could go. You got Rasheed Walker probably leaving in the offseason. Is Belton or Morgan your better bet at left tackle? I wonder if we'll learn. I would think we'll learn what's the best way to go as the season goes on, and how Jenkins, and for instance, plays for the rest of the year. But like, if they had to make that decision now, how do you think that would go?
Well, I think you know, Jenkins, you know, he needed to have a big season in order to justify that big contract. And I think, you know, he's probably the odd man out there. And try and find either Ryan or Morgan or someone to snap the football, and then you slide, you know, Belton in at left tackle. That might be the way it's going to shake out. At least that's how it would, if you had to look into the future, that's probably how it would shake out.
Would you even consider moving Tom over? I talked to him a few weeks ago. We were talking, and I asked him, you know, what would you think if in the future they asked to move you to center? And, you know, he didn't say a lot, but he basically just said, you know, who knows, it could happen. So he didn't like have a look on his face like, oh no, they, you know, don't do that. They better not do that. He didn't have that look. So made me think that he'd probably be willing to do it. Is that something you'd even consider, or are right tackles too hard to find to do that?
You know, I think he can be one heck of a center. There's no doubt about that. And I think their coaching staff and their scouting department feels the same way, that would be a natural position for him to really excel. That being said, you know, right and left tackles, they don't grow on trees, right? So you're kind of stuck there with, you know, Belton's going to have to make the next step, and then you got to decide whether or not you're going to keep Rasheed Walker.
Yeah, and what about Morgan, though, too? I mean, he actually played okay at left tackle in camp and in preseason. Now, you know, that's not doing it in games against all these great pass rushers. But, you know, I wonder if they think that's his bet. Like, could they go Belton, Morgan at the tackles, you know, and you pick whichever side you want each on, and go Tom in the middle, or are you compromised too much at tackle there then?
That's a really good question. Holy smokes. Yeah, I don't know. I think you got Belt in there that you drafted, and he shows some promise. He's obviously very raw and provides some help with the penalty department. I think he could be a pretty solid yes. player. The walking penalty. I mean, it's weird. When he walks out on the field, the refs just grab their yellow flags. He's got to figure out a way to get out of that.
Yeah. What about Morgan?
I think his long-term future in the NFL is a guard. I just don't see him being a tackle that is going to be able to withstand, you know, pass rushers that have multiple moves. You know, looking at his body, you would think he would be able to withstand the power of bull rush, but that seems to be, you know, the sack that he gave up on Sunday. And if I go back into preseason and look at those archives and stuff, he seems to be susceptible to the power rush, and that's tough, you know, because you're going to get a pretty good look at, you know, when you're playing inside, it's pretty much all power. When you're playing outside, you're going to get a mixture of it, and he's going to have to, you know, he's going to be coming into year three next year. He's going to have to get that all that stuff figured out. You know, really, with him is his pad level. When he's pass blocking, when he keeps his pad level down, he's pretty solid. When that pad level starts to creep up, it's, you know, he's really average.
Well, they don't have to make those decisions now. So, you know, but I want to revisit. Let's make sure we revisit this in December or January, because I'll be really curious to see if anything changes. Aaron Banks, do you have any take on him? I mean, he's been hurt so much, in and out of the lineup with like four or five different injuries. You know, obviously this has worked out poorly so far, paying him, I think, $16 or $18 million a year, whatever it was. What do you make of this guy when he does play? What do you see?
Yeah, I'm disappointed. You know, coming out of San Fran, talk was he was a, you know, kind of a bully and a devastating run blocker, and, you know, really haven't seen it. Maybe that is all because of the injuries and all, and he has a hard time staying in the lineup. You know, that's tough to get a good eval on a guy that doesn't play as much as you'd like to see him play. But you know, my first initial take on him, Pete, is that, you know, again, it's the run blocking. You know, that's where this team is really lacking. They've gotten better in the pass protection. They shored up their scheme. They appear to be sound with where they're sliding their protection. But where I'm, you know, just not confident on is a way that, as a group and as, you know, as that young man plays, is just not very devastating run blocking, you know, and I'd like to see them play with across the board, lower pad level, and being able to take that initial point of attack and drive it back.
I'm trying to think back to last year. Did they ran the ball fairly well from the start of the season, didn't they? What's the difference? Is just the line shuffling hasn't worked, and that Banks has been hurt, and Jenkins isn't as good at center as he was at guard, and
yes,
you know, all those combinations, because, you know, Myers, you know, he certainly had his bad plays too, although it was that was more in protection than in run blocking. Is that right?
Yeah, he whiffed on some runs too. I mean, everybody does on occasion. We're playing against guys who are all pro guys too, right? You know, you know, so they're going to make some plays. That's part of it. But where, you know, it's just not consistent. You know, there just seems to be like there's one guy that's consistently. And it's not one guy in particular. It's like on this play, it's this guy. On this play, it's Walker. On this play, it's Jenkins. You know, it's just not consistent enough. The other thing too, I think they can do to try to help their run game out a little bit is get that quarterback under center and get those running backs running downhill. I didn't chart it this time, but the week before against the Steelers, they did run the ball significantly better when they were under center than when they were coming out of shotgun. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, where the ball is, you know, the ball is never you know, or more importantly, the quarterback never turns his back to the defense. So everybody, when you're in shotgun, everybody knows where the ball is. It's so much harder to do any type of play action or misdirection when the quarterback is holding the ball facing the defense. It's just, it makes it a little bit tougher. So I would like to see, I think one thing they can do to really, you know, get the run game going is just get under center and just hammer it in that unbalanced line that they like to run with two tight ends lined up on one side, and just hammer it and, you know, make defenses, make them pay if they want to sit out nickel in that.
Let's hop back real quick to the other side of the ball. I was looking on X this morning and saw an interesting stat that I told you this right before we went on, that Carolina used an average of 42.5 seconds on the play clock in this game. I mean, they ate up that 45. They shortened this game, and between that and how well they ran the ball, I mean, their game plan couldn't have worked out any better, right, with shortening the game and keeping it low scoring.
Yeah, they definitely kept the you know, the limited their exposure to Jordan Love in the passing game with big plays. You know, so that is huge. And more importantly, then what that does is, it like you said, it shortens the game way down and it limits the opportunities for the Packers to do what they want to do on offense. And you know, when you're going to play high stakes football and you know, by means of that's forcing the ball downfield, you're going to miss, and sometimes you're going to hit. So you got to, the more opportunities you have, the more dangerous it is. And I think the, you know, like we talked about a little bit in our column right now, is the die set. You know, that you want to beat the Packers, it's going to be short passes. It's going to be not running the ball a little bit and burning clock and keeping the ball in your possession.
A lot of doom and gloom around this team, and they've given good reason for it with these, you know, games where they've been a big, big favorite to win, and they're 1-2 in those games. You know, we're halfway through now. These things aren't decided now. There's a lot of season to go. I don't know. What do you think of the state of this team? What do you think of its prospects for being a really good team and playing deep into January?
They need to become more consistent somehow. They got to find it. They got to, whether it's changing the way they approach football games. If it's, you know, stop throwing the ball down the field or forcing it down the field. I think that they're ready to go in some aspects, but on the other aspects of things, they need to just buckle it down. You know, let's not throw the ball 40 yards downfield when there's three defenders within 10 yards. You know, let's take the underneath stuff. The defenses are giving you stuff. Take it. You know, it's not sexy. The 8-yard, 9-yard pass, those aren't sexy. But you know what? Those move the chains. Those keep you on schedule. And you got to stay in that and keep pressure on the defense in that mindset that we're going to take what you give us. And eventually the defense, they're human, and they're going to try to stop that. And that's when mistakes happen, and that's when you can get them on the big play over the top.
Who do you think they're I mean, Kraft was their best weapon on offense, and now he's done for the year. Who do you think their go-to guys will be, you know, 6 weeks from now? Who are the guys that they're going to be looking to get the ball to?
Well, is Reed going to be back?
He should be back. I mean, he's starting to show up at practice. He's not doing anything. I think he should be back within a month, I would guess.
You know, I'd like to see Matthew Golden get an effort, you know, to kind of figure it out a little bit. He's struggling in the pro game a little bit. It's a little bit different. You know, you're not running, you know, like in the college game, you're so fast. You know, a lot of times you're running free, and he's got to get better at making plays on the ball in traffic, like Christian Watson does. And you know, there's the difference there between a guy who's been a pro for a bit and a guy that's right out of college, is just the ability to go get the balls out of traffic. So I think the go-to guys are going to be Christian Watson, Dobbs, Jacobs, of course. And, you know, you're going to have to figure out something in the middle there. Someone in the middle is going to have to step up, whether it's going to be Musgrave or one of the receivers, you know, Wicks or them. I think that's going to be the way to go. But, you know, Dobbs is your possession guy, and, you know, Christian Watson and is going to have to be your big play guy. And hopefully Matthew Golden kind of shakes loose here pretty quick.
You know what we're not seeing much of this season so far, which I thought, you know, we saw in camp a few times, was Golden on throws over the middle, you know, 15, maybe 12 to 20 yards downfield, catching it and turning it into something big. You know, that's another way to get big plays, and I'm thinking that's something they need to tap into instead of just throwing them a deep shots. Try to hit them a little shorter, not screens, because they throw screens. You know, it seems like it's either deep shots or screens with these guys right now.
Right.
And, you know, like those throws over the middle, you catch, you know, sometimes there's a lot of space in there and you can run and you can pick up an extra 10 to 25 yards. I thought he looked pretty good in camp doing that. I don't know if you think there's anything there as the season goes on.
I think now that Christian Watson's back and they can drag the secondary with them, there should be some more space created in the middle part of the field, you know, predominantly between the hashes. So yeah, so they have to be comfortable hitting those shots and thrown into those positions. So that's going to be interesting, you know, with this team. You lost your intermediate receiver and he's gone now. So someone's going to have to step up and resume that role. Otherwise, you're going to get a lot more of the same.
Yeah, we sure saw the difference between Kraft and Musgrave on that in the fourth quarter on that third and eight.
It was.
Third and eight. Yeah, he did the play that you were talking about that Kraft is so good at, where, you know, you pass block for a beat or two and then you slip into the flat. You throw it to Kraft, he's going to get something for you. They threw it to Musgrave. First guy out there brought him to the ground. It's a 5-yard gain. I mean, that's just night and day difference in run after the catch ability Kraft and everybody else.
And that was, you know, that was the thing. You know, Musgrave is the typical, you know, cookie cutter tight end. You catch the ball and fall down. And that's really what they, you know, what happened in that play too. You know, he caught the ball, he took two steps and he was on the ground again, where, you know, that's the part they're going to miss, you know, where Kraft can take that play. That's a first down. You don't have to go for it on fourth, you know, eliminate that risk. So yeah, that's going to be the challenge is being able to find someone that's going to be able to do the dirty work underneath.
So Philadelphia Eagles on Monday Night Football, they're 6-2. They had a really good offensive game. I think the last 2 weeks they played pretty well. They're coming off their bye. Packers are coming off a really bad loss. They've had two really bad losses this year, two of the worst regular season losses in LaFleur's time as coach. What do you think Monday night?
It's going to be a tough game. Absolutely. I think it's going to be a great game. My feeling is it's going to come down to the final possession. You know, my guess is in the first half, the Packers are going to come out, you know, looking really good, maybe even take the lead. A little bit, but I, you know, the Eagles will come back in the second half and make some adjustments and do some things there. The whole key of the game is going to be able to put the ball, make sure the ball is in Jalen Hurts' hands, and do not let, you know, Barkley get loose. If they can do that, you know, which I think they can, if they play disciplined football, they should be able to do it. It's going to be definitely a challenge, but I think they could do it. But I, if you had to ask me, I'm telling the Eagles are going to win with a field goal in the last 30 seconds of the game.
You know, the one thing the Packers have this year that they haven't had the last couple of years playing that team, and because Hurts has just killed them with his legs, they got Micah Parsons. And I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but I thought I saw that last year he had like 4 or 5 sacks on Hurts. You know, they played twice because they were in the same division. This is the one thing that probably gives the Packers, I think, a chance, is they got a better guy. They got a really good guy in their pass rush to help chase down Hurts, because Hurts has just killed them with his legs. I don't know if you have any agreement there. Well, but,
the good news, too, is you're going to have two really fast linebackers out there that excel at chasing guys down. You know, I like the way that is.
You got to play zone against these guys, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Because otherwise, if that guy gets loose, now it's a jailbreak. So, yeah. Let me take that back. You got to play zone with your backers. You know, you can play man out on outside, and you know your one and two receivers can be man coverage with a safety on the top and your backers underneath. I think that's what you're going to do going in. I think you got to – you know, they got formidable weapons outside that they can catch the ball. They got a running back that you got to stop, and you got a quarterback that's probably more deadly with the ball in his hands on the ground than it is with him throwing it through the air.
Well, the NFL roller coaster ride continues, man. This league is just so much week to week. I mean – I was thinking last week, I'm going, and I think the Lions are the best team in the NFC. And Minnesota goes into Detroit and beats them.
Right. Explain that to me.
Yeah. So the week-to-week nature of this league is just it's just incredible. And it's, you know, it's as much week-to-week as it's ever been. Are you as down on this team as a lot of their fans are?
It's just disappointing. You know, it's really disappointing that – you know, they're going into this week, you think this is an automatic win, and it just blows up in your face. And that's a challenge that I'm still trying to understand is, you know, you play a good team and you look good. You play a subpar team and you look subpar. You know, I just think that there's something awry there. There's something amiss. And I don't know if it's players. I don't know if it's a leadership within the player group or if it's on the sidelines with the guys with the headsets on. You know, I'm struggling.
It's probably the latter, isn't it? I mean,
I believe so. I mean, I think what I was going to say is that, you know, as I'm watching this now, you know, this is going to be tough. I don't know. I can't think of a game where I thought of, you know what, they just got outcoached. You know, the Packers outcoach the other team. I don't know if I can pinpoint that. But I could pinpoint a handful where the Packers got outcoached, and even this year. So the hard part is going to be where, I think they have a talented – they got a roster that's talented, you know, and you see the quarterback making some progression. You know, even Sunday he was more poised in the pocket. And that's a more recent thing that has happened. And I think that's what got everybody excited against the Steelers was he just looked so poised in the pocket and delivered on some throws and took some hits. And you know, he looks like that part is that door is swung for him, hopefully. But the part for me that just bothers me is, you know, you can't play a subpar team and play to their level. There's only one. You can only point it out to one thing, and that's the coaching staff.
These are the things that test. This is the test, the NFL test for coaches. 2 years ago, remember how bad the Packers were that first half of that season, Love's first year starter?
Right.
They had trouble getting first downs in the first halves of some of those games, and they got it together, and they were a really good football team by the end of the year. Last year, a little of the opposite. They were pretty good most of the season. And then their offense collapsed the last couple of weeks and in the playoffs. So this is the test that LaFleur and his staff face. It's, it's been a pretty rough first half of the year for a team with high expectations. And now they got it the second half of the season to either get things together or have a huge question mark and cloud hanging over them by the end of the year.
Right.
So big stuff ahead in the next 9 weeks, Eric. We're going to have tons to talk about and lots of games to go over. This should be really, really interesting. But the time's run out, so we're going to wrap it up for this week. I want to say thanks to everybody for listening in and downloading us. I'm glad you feel like we're worth your time. And remind you that we'll be back again next week to talk about the big Packers-Eagles game. This is a big one. We'll be back to talk about that. And then we'll have the second half of the season to go. Lots of football ahead. So for Eric, I'm Pete. I want to say thanks for joining the After Further Review podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
Be good, everybody.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.